This morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10 this morning. And I hope everybody's doing well, by the way. I hope y'all all had a great week. Hope y'all had a great weekend so far, and I hope it continues to go well for you. But if you will, look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Well, let's just go ahead and go through verse 11 this morning. And if you will, stand with me as we honor reading God's word, if you're able to stand. Beginning in verse 8, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Verse 9 says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" Verse 11 says, "And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?'" Let's pray. Father, we just again thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come into your house this morning, Father, to worship. Father, we thank you for the conditions that we come to worship in. Father, we thank you for the spirit that you're providing for us to worship in. And Father, we ask this morning that as we have read your word and as we continue in to this part of our service today, Father, that we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning, Father. Walk these aisles, walk in between each pew, touch the hearts that need to be touched. And Father, may your word pierce them. And Father, it's these things that we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Let's look at what God's word is saying this morning. Can you imagine? Adam and Eve, they had everything pretty much laid out for them. There was not much that they had to worry about. Everything was provided to them. They just had to abide by what God asked them to do. He gave them everything. He says, "You have all of these trees. You have all of this vegetation. You can do whatever you want. I'm taking care of everything. You just tend to what I'm asking you to tend to." He says, "The one thing that you don't do is you don't touch this one tree right here. That's it." Today we would say, "You got one job. You got one job. Don't touch this tree." Think about the weather. I was thinking about this the other day. Think in your mind about the most perfect spring day you can possibly imagine today. Think about how nice that weather is. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just the right temperature. You can go out. You don't sweat. Hey, they didn't even sweat then. They could go out and do what they wanted to. They didn't even sweat. Wouldn't that be great? On a hot Alabama day to go out and not be consumed. I'm outside working some days and I'm having to take my glasses off constantly, wipe my forehead, wipe the glasses off. Sometimes I think if I could just figure out how to put windshield wipers on my glasses, you know, to keep the mist of everything off of them. They didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. But they got fooled by the slippery serpent. And because of that, sin entered in. Because of all that, they hid. You know, it's something almost instinctive about in us that when we know we do wrong, we hide. Right? When we know we've messed up, we know we don't want to face those around us. Imagine a child breaking something in the house. Your favorite lamp, table, whatever it may be, what do? They disappear. When our kids were little, when things got quiet, we got really worried. I'm sure everybody has that feeling because we know something has happened. They disappear. When an employee makes a costly mistake, they avoid the boss. A phone, from time to time gets turned face down when certain notifications pop up because we don't want people to see what's going on. Hiding comes naturally to us when the guilt shows up. It started way back with Adam and Eve, and it has continued out through generations through generations through generations. Genesis 3, we see that very first instance of human reaction to what happens when we do wrong. Adam and Eve had walked with God openly. Can you imagine that? Every day, they got up, and when they would go out and they would walk, there was God. And they were talking with Him, and He was talking with them. They were able to do that every single day. No shame, no fear, no barriers. But the moment that they allowed sin to enter in, everything changed. Think about that today. If we had that opportunity, and we do, God speaks to us in certain ways and through certain people. I'm not saying that He doesn't speak to us today. But imagine being able just to walk. And God right there having a conversation with you. That's what they had, and that's what they gave up when they allowed that sin to enter in. Genesis 3:8 says again, let's look at that one more time. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. The first result of sin wasn't just disobedience, it was distance. They knew they had done wrong. They had partaken of the fruit of the tree that they know they weren't supposed to have. And Satan convinced them that they weren't going to die. But instead, when they did this, their eyes opened. The innocence was gone. Think about that a moment. There was a certain amount of innocence that was going on. It was just like everybody had the minds of children. Nothing was wrong. You know, we still see this today. We see children coming up. They're very innocent and everything. They don't know really what's right and what's wrong. They didn't have to worry about that here at this particular time with Adam and Eve because God was taking care of everything. God provided. They didn't have to worry about whether something was right or wrong. God was there and they talked about it. But what do we see in this passage this morning? I want to bring out three things, and we'll go through this morning. I want to bring out three things, and the first thing I want us to look at is that from this we get that sin produces shame that drives us to hide. When we're sinful, sin produces shame that drives us to hide. Now, it's getting more and more today that people sinning is something more that they want to celebrate than it is to hide. But for a child of God, when we're children of God and we have done wrong, one of the first things we want to do is we want to try to hide from that because we know that we have done wrong and we know that what has happened is going to cause us to separate. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it's going to drive us to hide. Before sin, Adam and Eve were naked. They were unashamed. And after their sin, they became painfully aware of what was going on with themselves. So what did they do? They began to hide that. They sewed fig leaves together, trying to cover everything up. Can you imagine how that would look and how that would go on today about how to try to sew that stuff together? One of the things that we can always be assured of is that sin is always going to expose, and then Satan's going to try to convince us to conceal it. We just don't hide actions. We ourselves hide. What do we hide? We hide our thoughts. What kind of thoughts? Well, whatever thoughts that comes into our mind. What is it that's going on around us? What is our thoughts? Or is it sometimes lustful thoughts? Is it thoughts of ill will towards people that we don't like? It causes us to try to hide those things. We want to hide our struggles. Folks, let me let you in on a secret. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you're no longer going to sin. Because we're human, we're going to make mistakes. It also doesn't mean just because we've become Christians that all of our struggles are going to disappear. Everything that we have struggles with, it's still going to be there. Here's the kicker. God gives us the ability to be able to handle these struggles. He gives us a way out of these struggles. When we have certain things that we're struggling with, when we have sin that we're struggling with, He gives us methods to get us away from that. Well, what if it's my friends that are causing me to sin? He gives you new friends. When I first became a Christian, there were people in my life that I loved dearly. They were like brothers to me. But because of the way they believed and the way they wanted to act and the way that I was being called to act now at this point that I came a believer in Christ, I couldn't handle those friendships anymore. I wasn't ugly to them. I wasn't mean to them. If I saw them, I spoke to them. I just no longer chose to hang out with them because they did things that me as a believer in Christ, as a Christian, I was no longer allowed to do. Not that I wasn't allowed to do, I shouldn't do. So God gave me a way out of that. And how did He do that? He gave me new friends. He gave me friends that had the same beliefs that I did. He gave me friends that had the same goals that I did. So those struggles that I had to deal with, He provided a way for me to do better. Sometimes when we're in sin and we're caught into the sin, sometimes we try to hide our true selves. You ever seen that? You ever heard that? Have you ever done that? You don't want people to really know who you are or how you act sometimes. So when you're around certain people, you don't behave that way. Sin produces shame that drives us to hide. Here's a good way to illustrate this. A man, he once bought a brand new truck. He kept it spotless. If you hadn't seen prices of new trucks today, you would want to keep it spotless too. Yeah. I saw the truck the other day. It was out on Facebook Marketplace. It was a year old, and it was a beautiful truck, and it was loaded to the hilt, and it was a year old, had 20,000 miles on it, and they still wanted $90,000 for that truck. I didn't pay much more than that for our second house. So I would keep it spotless. One day, he accidentally scraped it against a pole. You ever done that? Ooh, sound of that metal hitting, it just cringes you. He did that in the parking lot. But instead of fixing it right away, he'd drive it. And when he drove it and he parked it, particularly when he was at home, he parked the pretty side to where everybody could see it. He didn't want anybody to see that damaged side. That's the way sometimes we do in our lives. We give everybody that side that's not damaged. We give people the version that we think they want. But instead of fixing the truck right away, he drove it so nobody could see the damaged side when it was parked. You see, but when he did that, there's nothing changed there. You saw the pretty side, but the opposite side was still damaged. It was still there, but he lived as if hiding it made it better. That's what Adam and Eve did. They didn't fix the problem. They just tried to cover it. In verse 11, God told him, "Who told you you were naked?" Do y'all remember the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond? I used to love that show. I catch it every now and then on reruns. And the mama on the show, she was a great actress. I loved her. She could act and make you believe the way she was doing things was just the way she really was in life. But she had one line in there that still owns me to this day. one of the brothers, Robbie, was doing something, and Raymond was telling his mom that he went and he did this because he said he wanted to go do this. And she spun around and she looked at Raymond. Who told him he had his own mind? She didn't tell him what to go do, so she thought that was wrong. When I see that scripture and God says, who told you you were naked? That instantly comes up. It's kind of almost kind of comical. God knew all this. Folks, let me tell you something. Everything we're talking about this morning is no surprise to God. He didn't have to ask Adam where he was. He knew where he was. God's no fool. He didn't have to ask who told him. He already knew who told him. He already knew that. But we do the same thing that Adam and Eve did. We try to cover it up. We try to cover it up with excuses. You wonder what Adam's excuse was? Look at verse 12. I'm going to throw this one in. Look at verse 12. This was Adam's excuse. And then the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So essentially, God, it's your fault because this wouldn't have happened because if you hadn't have given me this woman, I wouldn't have done what I had just done. So it's your fault. He made the excuse. When we were kids, well, if Johnny didn't dare me to go do it, I probably wouldn't have done it. Well, you still did it. You still have to own up to it. But we'll make excuses to cover it up. We'll try to hide it through our busyness. Someone will come talk to you, say, hey, I need to talk with you. Understand something's going on. I ain't got time to talk to you about that right now. I've got to go. I've got other things to do. I've got other people to see. I've got to go. Hey, boss, I know I made that mistake, but I ain't got time to talk about that right now. I'm on something else right now. I got to go. Click. We'll hide it up in our business, in our busyness. We'll try to find ways to avoid it. Sometimes we'll just be silent about it. If you don't talk about it, it didn't happen, right? But hiding doesn't heal. It just delays. It just delays. Secondly, what I want us to see out of this scripture this morning is that sin will break fellowship with God. Sin breaks fellowship with God. Notice what Adam says when God calls him. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So here's what they did. They heard God, because prior they walked openly with God and they talked. So I imagine it was maybe a scheduled time that he came and he talked with them, and he says, I heard your voice, and I was afraid, and I hid. And I hid. Before sin, think about this. Before we sin, God's voice brings comfort, doesn't it? In life, when we're living our lives and we're living in the way that God has called us to live and we're doing the way things God calls us to do, we enter in a time of prayer. And we go into that time of prayer, hopefully with expectations that God is going to do what he says he tells us he's going to do. And it's comforting to us because we know we can go to him and we can talk with him and we can share the problems that we have. And boy, don't we have them. We go to him with a laundry list of everything we're doing. It's like we're seeing Santa every single day. Here's what I need. Here's what I want. It brings comfort. But now, after sin, it no longer brings comfort, it brings fear. It brings fear. Why? Because they wanted to go hide. They knew in their minds that they had messed up, and they were afraid of consequences. And if you go on over and read in the latter part of verse 3, starting in verse 13 and following, you'll see the consequences that laid out. because of their disobedience. It brought fear. The relationship, though, did not disappear. Keep that in mind. The relationship here did not disappear. How do we know that? Because God was talking to them. God was asking where they were. He knew where they were. We covered that. But he was asking. We notice here that the relationship has not disappeared, but it was disrupted. There is a rough patch. God didn't move from this whole situation. God was still right where he was. Who moved? Adam. We hear that all the time, don't we? Adam did. He went and hid. God was right where he was supposed to be. Adam was supposed to be right there. But because of what he had allowed to happen, he was going to go and hide. And that's still true today. God hasn't stopped calling us. God hasn't stopped pursuing us. But sin is going to cause us to withdraw. God loves each and every single one of us, and God wants us to be in a relationship with Him and Him only. Nothing else to be around. And God is pursuing us today. Think of a child who disobeys their father. When the father walks into the room, the child avoids eye contact. Has that ever happened? May slip away or pretends not to hear. We had this incident yesterday, not with our kids. Our kids are adult kids now. We began telling people that. We no longer have children, we have adult kids. But we had a dog, our outside dog. She's the sweetest thing, smart. Most of the time is pretty obedient. But yesterday I get the bright idea that she needs to be bathed. And she's rather strong. So it's kind of hard to grab her and hold her in a very small area like a tub or something like that because she is going to fight you for all you're worth. She loves the water, but she hates a bath. So I get the bright idea. We're going to go down to the family farm. She loves riding on the golf cart, so I got on the golf cart with me, and I had her by her collar and run my arm around her so that I could keep hold to her. And we're driving down there, and Christy's leading the way on the four-wheeler. And she's got the bucket and the towel and the soap. And we get down there, and I let her go. She goes. She hits that water. You can hear her splashing, swimming. She's having the time of her life. She's running around. We finally cage her up enough, put her in the water. We start to bathe her. Oh, she don't like this. I get her underneath her arms, her front legs, and she tries to snap at me. And she's soaked up, and she slips out, and she takes off. And I'm calling her. Christy is calling her. She don't check up. She's looking straight at me. And I'm calling her, and she ain't coming. And she keeps running. So after about an hour and a half, close to 2 hours later, it seems like, maybe it wasn't that long, but it sure did seem that long, I'm sitting here thinking, I know she's coming back, but when? So I followed her around and saw where she got into the woods. My daughter calls and asks what's going on, and I tell her, and next thing I know, I hear her grandmother's golf cart coming, and I look, and there she is, and she's got in her hand her favorite treat and her favorite toy, and it squeaks, and she loves getting this little hamburger, and she loves chasing and throwing it up and catching it, and she loves to get there and just squeak it, squeak it, squeak it. Here comes Cammy on the golf cart, and that squeak, squeak, squeak. She popped right out of the woods. She'd been sitting just where I couldn't get to her. But close enough to where I really couldn't see her. But she was close enough to hear that toy. And here she comes. The point of it is, sometimes we know and we hear, but we are just going to refuse to do what we're supposed to do sometimes. Because we know we've messed up. She knew she messed up. And she knew I was mad with her. And she wasn't going to have nothing about it. She was going to avoid the eye contact with me as much as possible. She was going to act like she never heard my voice. And y'all know from this morning, I got a loud voice. And I can get loud. And she slips away and she pretended not to hear. And that's exactly the way a lot of times we behave. Because we now went from that voice of comfort to fear because of what the consequences may be for what we've done is disobedient. That sin has not only caused distance in us, but and it caused us to hide, but it also causes a break in our fellowship with God. Remember, I said the relationship had not ended, but it has been disrupted. That's what we're talking about here this morning, Father. Folks, when we're in sin, our Heavenly Father cannot have that relationship with us that He wants because that sin separates us. The Father hasn't changed, but the child's awareness of guilt changes how they respond. That's exactly what happened in the garden. It makes us very distant. Lastly, what do we see in this? The last thing I want us to see out of this is God seeks us even when we hide. One of the most powerful moments in this passage is when God speaks, Adam, where are you? Where are you? There's some of us, God is asking you this morning, where are you? God wasn't asking for that information. He knew it. He knew exactly the way he was. He knew the exact point of where he was, what bush he was hiding behind. He knew the thoughts that were going on in his mind at that moment. He wasn't asking for an invitation. Even after sin, God came looking. Even after failure, God calls out. Even after hiding, God pursues us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. You've heard the story about a little boy, he got lost in a department store. Some of you may have even done this. Hid behind a rack of clothes. You know those big racks of clothes? They do make good hiding spots, by the way. Hid behind this rack of clothes, afraid because he knew he'd wandered off and his mother was calling his name, searching every aisle for him. Finally, she found him. He didn't find her, she found him. And that's the picture of the grace that we see in Genesis chapter 3. She found her son. God found Adam. Adam hid, but God sought. So what's the conclusion here? Stop hiding. The tragedy of this story isn't that just Adam sinned, it's the fact that he hid from the one who could very well help him. And we still do this today. We hide behind our appearances, we hide behind excuses, we hide behind our religion, we hide behind our silence. We hide. Because why? Because we have allowed sin to come into our lives. We can't hide from God. Scripture right here proves that we can't hide from God. God found him. He already knows what you've done. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows the burdens that you're carrying. He already knows everything about you. And yet he still wants to love you, without a doubt. He doesn't want to condemn. He wants to restore. That's what we need to have an understanding of. So the challenge today is, what are we hiding? Where do we need to pick up? Yesterday I was cutting grass before we went on our dog expedition. And our older son, our son and his wife are home for a different wedding this weekend, and they were actually staying out in our travel trailer. We got a travel trailer that sits under a pole barn, and we got it plugged up just like it would be if you were at the campsite. So they'd been staying out there all weekend long, and he went out to get his dog out to take her for a walk. And I was watching him walk across the yard and how he was dealing with a dog. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, that's my boy. And my daughter comes out. They don't know I saw this. She comes out, and she goes over, starts playing with the dog, smiles, this big, beautiful smile. She does. She has one of the biggest, beautiful smiles. And they were out there together. And I'm sitting here thinking, my heart is just full. My wife and I have been so blessed all of these years to raise these two kids to be who they are. And I'm sitting here thinking, they ain't no amount of sin I'm going to allow into our lives to ruin any of that. None whatsoever. That's too precious of a moment. That's too precious. We have to sit here and think about a moment. Don't allow this stuff to interfere with your life. Don't allow the relationship that you have with Jesus to be disrupted because of a moment that you think you just can't pass up. God has given us so many blessings. God has given us so much in our lives to be so thankful for that we don't need to allow the littlest of sin to come in and disrupt and ruin what God has built. Adam and Eve had it going on. They had everything in form. They didn't have to really do anything. God was taking care of all of it. Their one condition was not to mess with this one tree. Now, we can speculate all day what that was. Could be your favorite fruit. I don't know. But the conditions were not to mess with this. And they allow something to slip in to deceive them for a moment to lose it all. Folks, let's not allow stuff like that to take over. Let's not allow anything like that to come into our lives to where we can have that moment in our lives destroyed. Now, that was a simple moment yesterday. Most people would think that. But to me, that was a moment provided by God. Because I was just there on the mower by myself seeing this and reminding me that this is what the relationship is all about. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what God is calling you to do. But I'm here to tell you, don't allow anything to disrupt. I accepted the call to ministry over 34 years ago. And I fought it tooth and nail. Look back now, I wouldn't have traded it for nothing. It's been the greatest 34 years of my life. I can't imagine if I'd have stayed in the state that I was in and not listened to my friend John to come to church to set off the chain of reactions that caused me to be where I am today. There's nothing in this world that I would take for any of it. And I made a decision one time to be obedient. What is your decision today? What is that one thing God is calling you to do that you have been fighting? What is that one thing that you've been hiding? What is that one thing that you have allowed to interfere with anything? This morning, you have that opportunity to come. Will you stand as our musicians come, as we get ready for the hymn of invitation? Whatever it is that God is speaking to you about this morning, will you come and deal with that today? Will you surrender if that's what it takes? Let's pray. Father, we just give you this day. We give you this service. Father, we ask that you just speak to our hearts this morning, Father. And it's these things that we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.